You're listening to the Patriots All 22 podcast with Evan Lazar and Adam Kirkchen.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Well, week three of the NFL season is upon us. Adam Kirkchen, you know how this goes. Once it gets started, it kind of rolls through pretty quickly. But the Patriots have another tough matchup, I think, even though the Lions have not played very well through the first 2 weeks of the season with Detroit on Sunday and old friend Matt Patricia going up against his protege and Josh McDaniels as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the dynamic goes with those guys.
I didn't get a chance to see Detroit's game against Washington. It looked like they played better. Obviously, there was nowhere to go but up. I watched the game against the Jets. I think it's the perfect opponent to play after last week's game for the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, because I think they can play poorly and still win this game easily. I don't think the Lions are very good at all. I think their problems run way deeper than the Patriots have had in a long time. So, I still feel like this is going to be like, I still feel like it, like it is every year, like early in the season, the Patriots are still figuring things out. And I think you're going to get that sense in a lot of different places, but like in terms of like confidence level and the fact that they're going to win, like I'd be stunned if they lost this game, just like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into some of the specifics here in a second, but just on a big picture scale, I think that the one thing that's really surprised me with watching the Lions is that they've been so bad on offense, and that was the group that was supposed to have some continuity with Jim Bob Cooter coming back and all the same pieces essentially on offense, actually adding talent into that offense like Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount. Instead, now they have a mess kind of on offense where they've turned the ball over six times. Obviously, five of those came against the Jets, but they turned it over again. Matthew Stafford fumbled again in that Niners game. So we're adding a bunch of things together here. And look at the defensive side of the ball. They hire a defensive coach, and the defensive side of the ball is just an absolute mess. I mean, you can throw on them. You can run on them. They have a decent rush. They've sacked the quarterback eight times, but they've been down a lot in games. So I think that's, a piece of it. But, obviously – we've talked a lot about it with CLNS. Just, Matt Patricia, is he going to last the season? Is he going to be the coach of the Lions past this season? I still think, obviously, it's way too early to make those kind of judgment calls. But from a big picture standpoint, the Patriots, you're 100% right. If they cannot win this game, I know it's on the road, but still, if they can't win this game, then I think we're going to be coming on next week and kind of – saying, all right, maybe it's a time to panic. Like, maybe this isn't the same Patriots team. Both you and I obviously are so reluctant to say that, with some of the other hot take guys that will jump on that train after one loss. I think that, if this game is close or is a loss, then we can start really talking about, is this really a 10-6, 9-7 type team rather than a perennial Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, the only thing that would prevent me from saying that, like, even if it is a close win or a loss or something like that, is I've seen so many head scratching losses over the years early in the season with this team, and they don't have Julian Edelman. I still feel like when you have a healthy Brady and Belichick, there's nothing you can really, I don't know, say like at this point in the season that would make you really doubt them. So, no matter what, even if they do lose the Lions, which they won't do, at least in my opinion, I still think I'm going to hold off on any like real big picture, predictions about this team, because they always seem to sort of figure it out. I just don't know how they would if they get blown out by the Lions or something like that. I'd be like, all right, well, something's definitely off here. I just don't know what.
Yeah. And we'll get to more of this in a second as well. But I think that there are some matchups on when the Patriots are on defense, when the Lions have the ball, that can favor the Lions in this game and kind of set up, I think, what is going to be kind of a shootout of sorts. Now, I don't know how many points the Lions will exactly get to, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, 60 combined points in this game just based off of some of the things that we saw with the Patriots defense on Sunday and some of the weapons that the Lions have on offense that haven't really been clicking so far in the season, but they have some dangerous guys. But I want to start with the running game of the Patriots and running back Sony Michel, who I didn't really think that his first performance was necessarily bad or underwhelming or anything like that. But then when I caught back from Jacksonville, there was a lot of people that were disagreeing with me on this, that, you know, he didn't show enough in that first performance. To me, all I wanted to see in those 13 snaps was to see him get out there and, you know, just flash a little bit here and there. Obviously, with the knee injury, I just didn't expect much for him out of his very first game. But I think that you're kind of in the camp that wants to see more out of Sony, too.
Oh, 100%. Like, I mean, like, listen, I'm not expecting him to rush for 300 yards or anything, but you had two first-round picks this year. You didn't spend a single one on a defensive player, even though your defense had got exposed in the Super Bowl badly. You didn't spend it on a future quarterback. You spent it on one of many running backs who are taken this year that wasn't, you know, a clear guy who is better than even a Darius Geis. You know, like if you take Darius Geis there, like I know he has a torn ACL, but say he doesn't get his torn ACL, I'm not certain that Sony Michel's any better than Darius Geis. So, like, when you take a running back in the first round, like, I don't care how healthy he is, I want to see something. And, you know, he had one good run, and, you know, there should be more of those because, the way I see it is when you take a guy that high, I don't care how good the blocking is, he's got to produce. You know, like, you've got to be able to produce against even bad blocking. That's what a first-round running back does. So, you know, whether or not, like he, you know, and I'm not expecting him to, like, you know, rush for over 120 yards or something like that. More flashing would be good. Like two or three of those type runs would be good. You need to see progress because, you know, selecting a running back in the first round is much different than taking one in the second or third round. You know, I've always thought he's a good player, but you're in the NFL now. You were a first round draft pick. Let's see it. You know, like he hasn't played any better at all in that first showing than Kerryon Johnson has. And Johnson was taken later than him. So let's see what you can do, man. You know, you're a good back. You played well in college, selected you in the first round to play like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I don't think that I necessarily was as disappointed with his first week performance as some other people were. I mean, I look back and, you know, some of these debuts from running backs that aren't, you know, top 10 picks. We're not talking about the Saquon Barkleys or the Adrian Petersons or someone like that. Guy that's picked at the end of the first round, you know, you kind of look at through the course of history at some of those guys, and it's not necessarily like they're going to hit the ground running and come out like gangbusters right away. So I think that there's a little bit of that. But I definitely agree against this Lions run defense that has been gashed for the first 2 weeks of the season by both the Jets and by the Niners, by running backs that are not as heralded as a first-round pick that was selected 31st overall. You know, guys like Matt Breida and Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell. Yeah. Isaiah Crowell and Breida ran for a combined almost 300 yards between the two of them. Each of them had a 60-yard touchdown run. You know, yeah. I mean, these are bad things for this Lions run defense. And I'm going to write about it a little bit tomorrow and just say, you know, this is go time now for the Patriots run offense. If this run offense is going to be a factor on any level, really, they need to show it in this game here, both up front with the blocking and Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead and James White and the guys that they do have in the backfield as well. Because that Jacksonville team, I mean, let's be honest, they absolutely dominated the Patriots on the line of scrimmage. Flat out dominated from start to finish, whether it was rushing the quarterback or stopping the run. And it wasn't just the guys, the front four or five of Jacksonville. It was the corners and the safeties too that were making a huge impact in the run game as well. All 11 guys on that Jacksonville team really dominated that matchup defensively. So this time around against a really bad Detroit defense. Let's be honest. This is just a bad Detroit defense, whether it's Matt Patricia or just the players on the defense. I mean, when you really look at this Detroit defense, people want to rag on the Patriots defense. Detroit has Darius Slay and Ziggy Ansah, and that's it. You know, they're starting Ricky Jean-Francois at defensive tackle. The Patriots cut him. You know, like he was like the fifth or sixth guy on a what people thought was a bad defense. So, you know, this is go time now for the Patriots run offense and really the offense as a whole. And I think that you can put some expectations now on Sony's shoulders. That was his first game ever. You know, so I try not to jump off a cliff with that. But against this matchup, and you go and you watch the tape and you watch what was successful against this Detroit defense, a lot of zone blocking schemes, which is stuff that the Patriots are going to do when Sony's in the game. I mean, they were handing the ball off on inside zone to Breida, and Breida was taking it 20 yards a pop. You know, he averaged like 10 yards a carry in that game. So if this is, you know, if this is a bad performance again from the run offense, I'm talking under 4 yards to carry, then it's kind of time to question some things about, you know, what's going on up front with the offensive line and what's going on in the backfield with Sony Michel. So I think both of us are on the same page. I want to wait and give Sony this Sunday night before, you know, anybody's hitting the panic button.
It's super early, and, you know, transitioning from even the SEC to the pros is a huge leap. Even as good as the SEC is, he's played against the best defenses, you know, in the country as a collegiate player. So it's a huge leap. It's a massive leap.
If we're being honest, though, this Lions defense might be worse than Alabama's defense last year.
I know.
Like I know it's crazy to say, and everyone's going to be like, no, that's not actually true. But if you look at the Alabama defense and how many first-round picks they have on that defense, I mean, it's not that crazy. I mean, you're talking about having a defense where there's guys like Minka Fitzpatrick, who's now going to be a stud in the league, you know, for a while. I mean, it's not – listen, this is go time. I'm with you on that one. I think that, you know, it's time to see some spark from Sony Michel, because we talked about this last week. Rex Burkhead and James White are not factor backs. They're not guys that are going to be big time contributors on the ground. They're nice complementary pieces, and James White, I think, is a really, really good receiving running back, but he's not a guy that's going to tote the rock between the tackles. That's Sony Michel's role in this offense right now. He is the Deion Lewis of this year's Patriots team. You know, so that's what he needs to be for this team going forward. Anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, there's just one last thing I wanted to add to that. And I heard this quote, and I must have heard it a long time ago too, but I heard it and I thought of, you know, a lot of running backs that come from really good college teams, which Sony was on. You know, Reggie Bush said that when he went from USC to the NFL, it was a big adjustment for him. Because sometimes at USC, the holes were so big that it affected how quickly he hit the hole. And that when he gets to the NFL and the other players and the margins are so much smaller, it's like when a quarterback goes and, you know, the players aren't open and stuff like that. But you still have to try to find them, you know, find them to get a way to get them the ball in tighter windows. It's the same way with the running back. He played on a great Georgia team, and some of these holes he was running through, he had you could drive a truck through. So I think that's one of those adjustments for any rookie running back, especially ones that come on a good team. And I think that's just part of it.
That's a great point. As much as I have touted Sony Michel and I loved his college tape, that's a fantastic point, because you watch some of just like the highlight reels, not necessarily the cut-ups of the games where you see every touch that he has or whatnot. You just watch some of the highlight reel runs, and you're right. I mean, you could drive a tractor trailer through some of those holes, and they had a lot of really good offensive linemen, including Isaiah Wynn, obviously, on that Georgia offensive line, and there was a lot of big holes. You're right. And what you saw against the Jaguars was that there weren't any. And he was kind of bottled up, and he didn't really have much room to maneuver, and he didn't really create much. So be interesting to see what we can get out of Sony this week, because I think that those holes won't resemble what they did at Georgia, but they're going to be much bigger than they were in Jacksonville on Sunday. All right, let's move on and talk about the guy that literally everyone's talking about right now, and that is Josh Gordon. And I was down at Foxborough today, and I'll tell you, Adam, like, this is the only thing that matters right now about this team. You can, all the other 52 guys on the roster could disappear and no one would care as long as we could talk to Josh Gordon. So it's really pretty crazy. But I think that on the field, I'm curious to see if you think that he's even going to play on Sunday.
I don't know. To be honest, I think that I think this would not be a bad game to throw him in. You know, if I'm just speaking from my perspective, I can't really get in the mind of Belichick or anything like that. I don't know what he's going to do, but it wouldn't be a bad game because, you know, it's early in the season. It's against a bad defense. You're probably going to score a lot of points anyway. Why not be, have him out there for times where, you know, you can get him looks in a game you feel like you're going to win anyway. So I would try to get him out there just to try, you know, like obviously he's not going to come out there. And when we talk about adjusting the things, I mean, Jesus, you know, going out there and adjusting to that offense with Tom Brady and being on the same page, I mean, it's impossible. So like, you know, when you're talking about how much to expect out of Gordon, look, probably not much other than like if they send him deep and he catches a pass and goes for a 75-yard touchdown or something like that. I can see that happening. But I also, you know, have to be realistic with, like, you know, it really is a complex offense when you're having to just be on the same page as a guy like Brady. And there's very, you know, there's a lot of guys that have come in, talented wide receivers who haven't been able to click. So I would throw him out there because I think this is a game you're going to win. And I feel like this is the perfect time to throw him out there. You don't want to wait until, you know, I don't know. It just feels like a good thing to do is to get him out there.
Yeah, I would actually be pretty stunned if he's not active for the game. I just think that at this point with the risk that you're taking with him, and I don't know if Belichick would necessarily think about it this way, but you don't know how many games of Josh Gordon you're actually going to have. Yeah, right. And right now it sounds like he's at least healthy enough to play and his mind is at least in a good enough place to play as well. So at this point, you kind of need to get the most and milk the most out of this opportunity that you have, because you can't guarantee that he's going to be here, in week 13 or 14 or, you know, the playoffs even, you know, you don't even know. So yeah. I think that you just ask people in Cleveland about that one. So I think that you just need to kind of get him out there right now and kind of get him into this offense, because I think that one thing, and a lot of people have talked about this, but one thing that I think that can really help Josh Gordon just for in all angles is that if he comes out and he just comes out like gangbusters with Tom Brady and he has a huge game, I'm not saying that he's going to, I'm just saying hypothetically if he does, I think that in itself is just great for anybody's mental health. You know, you come out and you kill it on Sunday Night Football with Tom Brady, even if you just catch one pass, you know, one touchdown, one big 40-yard reception, whatever it is, doesn't have to be a 200-yard game or anything like that. Just do something to kind of get the momentum going, put the years in Cleveland behind you. You're now a Patriot. And then also you kind of look at the depth chart in the secondary for the Lions, and I have it pulled up here, and Darius Slay has been limited in practice. He went out of the game last week with the concussion, so they're not even sure he's going to play. And when you really look at the cornerback depth behind Darius Slay, I mean, there are some guys on here that, you know, you just – Nevin Lawson, Tease Tabor, Jamal Agnew, who is really a returner and not a corner. He's their fourth corner on this depth chart, and their safeties are a little bit better. They have Diggs and Glover Quinn and Tavon Wilson, who is a Patriot draft pick that's kind of revitalized his career in Detroit. But you look at just guys, especially if Darius Slay doesn't play in this game, I mean, there's nobody that can hang with Josh Gordon on this team. And so really, I think that this is a really good opportunity to play Josh Gordon against a matchup where he can physically really dominate this game if he's even remotely close to being the Josh Gordon that we know even in Cleveland. So I think that, really all you have to do, and I wanted to hit on this too, is just kind of playing time. all you have to do is really put in a few packages where he can run a go, a post, and a slant, you know, and we don't have to get complicated so much right now. And Belichick talked about this a little bit with some of the other receivers that have come through the system. When you come in midseason like this, they don't have time to go over kind of the overarching themes of what the wide receiver position is like in New England like they would in training camp. So it's very game plan specific. Because they don't really have the time to go over techniques and all these little things that maybe you have time to do in the spring or in the summer in training camp. So I think that for Gordon, you come in, you put in three or four routes into his route tree with the Patriots, you put him out on the perimeter, and you say, Tease Tabor is lining up across from you. You know, Nevin Lawson is lining up across from you. These guys are not Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. No. You know, so I think that that's going to be a nice little matchup for Josh Gordon to make a big impact. And also, just to wrap this up, I know that Matt Patricia is going to have something planned for Rob Gronkowski. Whatever your opinions are on Patricia, he's a smart enough guy to realize that if you're going to have any chance at all of slowing down this offense, that he's going to have to take Gronk out of the game. And that could mean a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside for somebody like Josh Gordon. So I think that overall, this is a nice, juicy matchup for a player like Josh Gordon.
100%. Yeah, I agree. And especially with your point about Patricia going to be game planning for Gronkowski, that's the smartest. That's such a basic thing that any defensive coordinator or defensive coach or any coach is going to do right now, especially with Edelman out, is be like, okay, let's just not have Gronk beat us.
Yeah.
let's tip our cap if you know Chris Hogan goes off on us or something like that, or Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, I mean, that Houston secondary, obviously Dorsett had a nice game against them. I think that we kind of realize now after they played again in week two and lost to a Titans team that was playing like backups all over the field. They didn't even have Mariota. They were missing their left tackle, I'm pretty sure, too. I mean, it was just the fact that Houston lost that game was terrible. And I think that we realize that the Texans probably just aren't very good. And aren't going to be very good this year unless Deshaun Watson really puts the team on his back once he gets a little bit, you know, more closer to 100%. But yeah. But I think that, you know, the Jaguars, even though that game they really treated it like a Super Bowl, they're just a really good team.
And
you watch that tape and Dorsett and Chris Hogan had no attention on them whatsoever. They had no safety help. They were single coverage in a lot of situations, just running through zone coverage in other situations. And they were just – it could have been you or me out there. They were just non-existent. And that in itself, I think, is just what triggered the move more than anything. That I know a lot of people kind of look at it as sort of a panic move. It kind of was a panic move because I think that they watched – the coaching staff watched that tape. Tom Brady watched that tape, and he said it after the game. They just knew that they just had nothing on the perimeter against a team that had some good cornerbacks, a team that could actually play some defense and play some coverage in the secondary. So I think that the expectations for Josh Gordon don't necessarily need to be sky high. It's more just that he needs to come into this offense and at least give the Patriots somebody that the other team has to think about. The other team has to game plan a little bit for, and then let's see what happens. You know, obviously as the season goes along, we hope that, you know, he can play a little bit more and have a bigger impact. But overall, I think that this is solely about putting a guy with Josh Gordon's pedigree on the field with Rob Gronkowski to kind of take away some of that coverage away from Gronk, because Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan might as well just be, you know, any average run-of-the-mill NFL wide receiver to these teams. They're just not kind of game planning or doing anything specific to slow those guys down because they're not scared of them at all.
Right.
All right. So let's talk a little bit now about when the Lions have the ball. So I think that, you know, their execution in the first 2 weeks of the season was god awful. So it really has been an ugly go of it. They're 26th right now in total offense DVOA. It's obviously only been two games, so those kind of stats are, you know, it's hard to do those stats because it's such a small sample size. But basically right now they're one of the worst offenses in the league in just in terms of a yards per play and a succession rate, you know, down to down. So on paper, this team is a lot scarier to me than it is necessarily on what they're putting on tape.
Yeah, I think it's indicative of what a lot of us have been hearing from the Detroit people about, you know, the chemistry being a mess with Patricia and the players and stuff like that, because they're better than what they've shown.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, this offense isn't, you know, it's not the greatest show on turf or anything, but it's good enough to not be this bad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, I'm not somebody who's always, you know, been like a big Matthew Stafford guy, but I mean, he's better than however many interceptions he threw against the Jets, you know, and stuff like that. So, the thing about that is whenever I see that a team go through something like that, but they have talent, you know, I just feel like, well, at some point they're just going to figure it out. It's a long season. So maybe this is the game that they've, you know, put everything aside and just things start to click for them. And, you know, you have to think that way anytime you face a team with guys like that. So at the very least, this is a game where the Patriots defense can see if they can correct a lot of the mistakes that they had against Jacksonville, a lot of the issues that came up. Even if they can just use it as a tool to see, okay, are we better this week than we were last week, as they, you know, like to say. So, you know, will Detroit light them up or anything? I really don't know, because, you know, things just seem so backwards there right now. And I don't know how much has to do with the scheme or against it, or if it's a pure chemistry issue. But I think this is like a really good opportunity for the Patriots to just work on what went wrong last week, because, you know, personnel wise, Detroit does have some good guys.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that this is a perfect week for that, because they do have players that could give the Patriots problems in some of the same ways that the Jaguars had players that could give the Patriots problems. They don't have as much team speed as the Jaguars did, especially at the wide receiver position, but they have guys like Tate, who is just an absolute menace to bring down in the open field. Right. And I think that if the Lions and their coaching staff and Jim Bob Cooter have any sort of brain, they're going to run Golden Tate on all sorts of crossing routes over the middle and Kenny Golladay all night long if they have any sort of brain. So if that's going to be the case, it's a great, you know, way to kind of a great measuring stick against a team that does have some explosive playmakers, and kind of see, can they fix some things that went wrong. And I think that when you look at it, like I said off the top of the show, it's just really surprising that the offense is really as much of a mess as the defense in Detroit. The defense, I think everybody kind of expected to be pretty bad and kind of in a rebuild mode, because they just don't have a ton of talent on the roster. But offensively, this is the same team that was basically a top 10 offense last year. They were seventh in points per game. They were, you know, good rankings and all the kind of advanced efficiency stats and stuff like that. And Stafford had a really good season and kind of has been pretty good since Jim Bob Cooter took over in 2015, has kind of turned Stafford's career around a little bit. So I think it's pretty surprising to me, with all the playmakers that they have, they brought in a bunch of running backs to try to get the running game going. They drafted Frank Ragnow in the first round, who's just a mauler at guard, who has been horrible throughout the first two games. Now, granted, it's been some tough competition. Going up against DeForest Buckner and Leonard Williams is not an easy feat. But at the same time, he's just been god-awful. And, you know, you kind of look at this team and you're like, they're going to have to win games 35-32. You know, they're not going to stop anybody. So they're going to have to rely on this offense. And this offense should be good. They have veteran players on the offensive side of the ball. They have Stafford, who's a veteran quarterback. They have Golden Tate. They have Marvin Jones. They have Golladay. They have running backs, Theo Riddick, you know, Kerryon Johnson, LeGarrette Blount. That's three really good running backs. Riddick is one of the best receiving running backs in the league. And Kerryon Johnson's a guy that a lot of draft people really loved, and he's looked decent so far, but it just hasn't been anywhere near close enough or consistent enough for them on offense. So I think that it's a really nice matchup for the Patriots to learn a lot about themselves. Did they just go down to Jacksonville? It was 100 degrees. The Jaguars are playing their asses off in that game and they just got beat? Or is this really the same issues that we're going to see this with this defense as we saw with the 2017 defense, excuse me, where it's just not good. It's just not a good defense against quality opponents, you know. And I think that that a lot of people were kind of hoping that this defense was going to be better.
Right. And it is one of those things still where, like I said, I don't want to draw too many conclusions from games in September.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, like I still feel like it, you know, if they get lit up, it, you know, you can be concerned and everything like that. But you know, it's just Belichick has a way of figuring out what works and what doesn't, and making adjustments and stuff like that make it better. However, you know, there are certain things, like just playing personnel wise, that are sort of unavoidable, and that is the speed at the linebacker position, just overall. Like, it's just that's a thing that can be exploited by like teams, like, you know, with receivers that are fast, and you know good running backs that can catch the ball and stuff like that. You know, that hasn't changed. You know, I give credit for, you know, it looks like this Bentley guy is decent in coverage, but still he didn't have a great game against Jacksonville. And, you just worry about, well, is the team just sort of slow to react to this, or do they feel like their way of defending, isn't going to change personnel wise. They're just not going to make that adjustment. They're just going to stick to what they do.
Yeah. I talked to some of the players today about some of the crossing routes and the bunch stuff that the Jaguars really ran. And basically what they said to me was two things. One, they said that they just kept on beating the drum. You know, they got, the Patriots did stop a few of them here and there, and the Jaguars just kept doing it over and over and over again. And that was something that they said was different from what happened with Houston in week one. Houston started out running a bunch of those, stacks and bunches and crossing routes and stuff like that. And the Patriots were able to kind of stop it early on in the game. And so then they just went away from it. And the Jaguars just kept on going to it over and over again. And I asked them, I kind of pressured a few of them, and they wouldn't give me any answers, obviously, because this is too scheme related. And they told me to go ask Belichick. And I was like, Belichick's not going to tell me either. But, you know, just kind of defending these bunch sets, noticing that they kind of stick to their man principles in a lot of the time. And you have these bunch sets where guys are purposely out leveraging people, and they're still in man coverage. And, you know, like the big one to D.D. Westbrook, that was Jonathan Jones's man. You know, Jonathan Jones is supposed to be in man coverage against D.D. Westbrook, but D.D. Westbrook takes him through a bunch of traffic, and he gets caught up in the traffic, and there's nobody there to kind of help him out. So I would almost like to see them pass these things off more and play it more like a zone. And they obviously wouldn't commit to doing that or not doing that. But I think that that's something that I'm going to be looking for in this game, because like I said, if the Lions are smart, they're going to do the exact same thing that the Jaguars did and kind of try to beat the Patriots the same way offensively. So we'll see what happens. I just think that, you know, there are some things that Bill Belichick and the defensive side of the ball with the coaching staff, both personnel-wise in terms of the types of players that they're acquiring and drafting. Like, I love Juwan Bentley, but we talked about it when they drafted him. He's not this new-age linebacker.
No,
he's not. The Niners, watching that tape against the Lions, they drafted Fred Werner from BYU, who's a guy that both of us really liked, and he's flying around the field. You know, he's a guy that can play in coverage. He was kind of like a safety linebacker hybrid type guy that they're going to turn into an off-ball linebacker in the league. And that was kind of the guy that I was hoping that they were going to go after. And instead, they went after a guy like Bentley, who's basically a slimmer, maybe a little bit more athletic in space version of Dante Hightower. So it's just like, you know, this is the same guy. So the personnel hasn't changed. Their approach to what they want and look for in linebackers hasn't changed. And also just schematically in the secondary, they're still sticking to some of the same things that got them beat last year against teams like the Chiefs and Carolina. And then obviously not so much in the Super Bowl, but in the Super Bowl too. But that Carolina game is kind of the one there where they really got beat with those bunch formations and stuff like that. And a lot of it was because they were just playing it straight up man coverage, and they were just, you know, run them across the field through all this traffic. And, you know, there was just no place to go for these guys. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like the way I look at it, it's kind of crazy to me because I don't look – I don't see how anybody – even if you have great personnel, I don't see how you can cover crossing routes like that man-to-man. I just don't think it's possible. I mean, no. If you look at that example, I mean, Jonathan Jones can't even keep – I mean, Jonathan Jones.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just – you can't do it. You have to pass off. And if – like, the other thing about, like, drafting these – like smaller, more athletic linebackers is it's like you could never be in a better age for it. Like that, like so many, there's so many wide open offenses in college now more than ever before. And college is producing more and more guys who played in conferences where they have to defend 4 and 5 receivers all game, every week, all season.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't get one of those guys. You know, like it's just strange. You know, there's so many good guys coming out like that now, not necessarily all pro caliber, but like just guys that can run. You know, big, fast linebackers that can run, and maybe even, you know, guys who are a little bit on the small side, but will give you something in terms of defending the pass as a linebacker. And the Patriots are just sort of sticking to their philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to rag on Bentley because he was really good in week one. And he was really good all throughout the preseason. And I still think that there's a lot to like about him. But just when you kind of look at the guys that they acquired over the offseason to kind of fix this defense a little bit, you kind of look at guys that are kind of slow. I mean, Danny Shelton is a run stuffer. He's a first and second down guy that's pretty slow. And what, you know, some of these teams are doing, especially even Houston in week one, is that they're getting Shelton in spots where, you know, it doesn't look like it's in space because it's still kind of on the line of scrimmage. But for a defensive tackle, it's moving in space. And he's just a big guy. That's just not what he's meant to be doing. He's meant to be taking on blocks and taking on double teams and kind of, you know, smashing into offensive linemen and stuff like that. And they're running these outside zone schemes where they're making him run sideline to sideline, and it just doesn't look pretty. And then you have a guy like Juwan Bentley who's doing the same. Adrian Claiborne was brought in here to rush the passer, and he can't, you know, keep contained on the edge, so they can't keep him in the game. And you know, it's just, I like all these players. I liked all of the acquisitions, but now it's come to the point where they need to use them properly and kind of get what they can out of these guys. And Claiborne is one of those guys where I think that he's starting to put some pressure on himself to play better, just from what I've been able to interact with him especially since Sunday, because, you know, it's just a no-no. And in any type of scheme or any type of coaching staff, if you're going to rush past a mobile quarterback, you know, you just can't do it. And he just did it 3 times, 4 times against Bortles. And all Bortles did was step up and step around and rush out of the pocket. And it's, you're going to have the same thing this week with Stafford. I mean, I think that Stafford is an underrated athlete and a guy that can, you know, make some throws on the run and can't get outside the pocket. Nowadays, you're going to play a lot of guys like that. You know, they're going to go into Miami, or Miami's going to come here, excuse me, in week 4. Ryan Tannehill, for all of his limitations, he's a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, he can run.
Yeah, he can run. So it's just like every week, yeah, and now you have Sam Darnold in New York and with the Jets, who's mobile. You have Josh Allen in Buffalo, who's mobile. You know, they're going to face a lot of these guys that can get outside the pocket and do some things. So I think that overall, you know, I'm not hitting the panic button on the defense quite yet. I'm not hitting the panic button on the acquisitions from the offseason. But it is questionable, I think, in my mind, and I think in yours too, just what are they going about with their personnel decisions to come to these decisions that all of these other teams are just starting to kind of catch up with the times and figure out what works in today's league. I mean, I was watching the Detroit game from last week, and that Niners defensive line, now granted, they've had a lot of top picks. to kind of add to that defensive line. But that Niners defensive line is lean, it's fast,
yeah,
it's explosive, it's all these things. And again, DeForest Buckner was a top 10 pick, so the Patriots are not getting a guy like DeForest Buckner, but the Niners are looking for guys like DeForest Buckner, and the Patriots are looking for the Danny Sheltons of the world.
Right.
And it's very confusing to me.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost, because the thing that's strangest to me about it is that I think Belichick is one of the best there is at, grasping, new concepts and getting ahead of the trends.
Yeah.
And this seems like a behind the times type of philosophy and approach to building your defense.
Yeah. I mean, they're just slow on defense. They have been slow on defense. And these teams, they're going to keep on making them pay for that by running stuff horizontally over the middle, or, getting their backs on the edges and making the Patriots defense run sideline to sideline. And so far, even at times in that Houston game when Houston's offense kind of got rolling in the second half, we kind of saw it too. So this game is a really good test, I think, because the Lions do have the pieces on offense to put up a lot of points in this game if the Patriots defense doesn't fix some of the issues that we saw on Sunday. They have the explosive playmakers. They have a good quarterback in Stafford. They have running backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And they have an offensive line that has some holes. I talked about Ragnow. The interior of the offensive line isn't great, but they have some veterans too that are pretty good players on the offensive line. So I think that overall, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a shootout. I really wouldn't be all that surprised if this is a game that's in the 30s for both teams. I still think the Patriots win. I think that they win pretty comfortably, although it could be something more closer to what we saw in Houston, against Houston, where they do win comfortably, but it's not exactly like this, amazing showing, like the Patriots are back type deal or anything like that. But I think that the difference between the Houston game and the Jacksonville game was that the Patriots played like the Patriots against Houston. They're a professional football team. They executed. They didn't have any glaring mistakes just in terms of their fundamentals or their execution. There was so many mistakes in that Jacksonville game, just from a mental standpoint, not even a physical standpoint. So this week, I'm just really – they're not going to fix the issues with the personnel over, by Sunday, obviously. So at this point, let's just fix all the mental mistakes and go from there.
Right. I agree.
All right. Why don't you tease some things? What do you got going on? And also, let's just mention that we wanted to have Kevin Duffy on tonight, but he's swamped with work. The Herald's got him burning the midnight oil. So we'll have Duffy on have him on for the first time, I guess, this season, when he's got a little bit more availability. But what do you got going on?
Well, I don't have a college game this weekend. Tomorrow night, I'm going to see a kid in Oxford. It'll actually be a road game for him, but a kid named Nico Murray, who I think is one of the best running backs in the state. I've seen him on film a bunch. I want to see him up close and sort of compare him to some of the other guys I've seen. And then on Saturday, seeing Lawrence Academy against BBNN. BBNN's got a bunch of guys there'll be a lot of guys on the field who already have major offers and they're not even seniors yet. So that'll be like a good game for, sort of anyone to see a lot of good players. So, I'll be writing up a column on Sunday. So, so just a lot of that, watching good players.
Cool. That sounds great. And on CNSmedia.com, check out today. I had something come out about the Lions offense, kind of going into the film of what we were talking about, how they have some explosive playmakers and some schemes that I think the Patriots could give the Patriots problems. Tomorrow I'll have my Patriots game plan up. Going to focus it mainly on the Patriots running game and kind of getting that going and looking at some of the things that the Niners and the Jets did that really gashed Detroit up front that I think the Patriots can kind of copy. And then obviously on Sunday we'll have wall-to-wall coverage. I won't be in Detroit, but we're still going to cover the whole game as best as we can from here. And then we have three home games in a row. So obviously be at all those and see the Patriots play with Miami, Indianapolis, and now, of course, I can't remember the third of that three-game homestand is, but the Indy game will be interesting. That's a Thursday nighter, so we'll see how that one goes. But, yeah, I think that it's going to be a very interesting game on Sunday. Obviously, I think a lot of the cameras are going to be focused on Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick and, you know, that whole thing, but I think that what happens on the field is going to actually be far more important to both, you know, coaches, obviously, but also just to both teams, because the Lions, they need to get their shit together just in general. They're on the brink of going 0-3, and the Patriots obviously would like to bounce back from that loss in Jacksonville. But until next week, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.